Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
And would you guys welcome Jonathan Trask as he comes to share the word with us tonight? Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 10. How many of you listen to Refuge Radio? Anybody that, well, you heard Jonathan 2 days in a row this week, and now you get to hear him live right now. So, Jonathan, thanks for taking us into the word tonight.
I apologize if you heard me on the radio. I'm not sure if it was any good at all. How are you guys doing? Good. Did you guys survive? I don't know if you've been reading the latest postings recently, but there is a crisis going on at the moment. It's Facebook Meltdown 2019. This afternoon, something crashed, and thousands and millions of people could not get their Facebook or their Instagram messages. And it was one of the first things that popped up right before I came in here. It seems like everybody on Facebook was panicking. You know, what's going on, you guys? What's going on? Is anybody else experiencing this issue? So that was what was happening. Hey, there's been a lot of crazy things happening in the news lately. If you've been watching the news, there's a few scandals taking place. If you haven't been paying attention or if you don't watch the news all the time, if you go online right now, read CNN, Fox News, whatever it is that you subscribe to, you're going to go on there and you're going to see, wow, there's maybe some issues with integrity that are taking place right now. Issues with integrity in regards to college admissions and how people who have wealth and money were able to buy their students or their kids way into certain colleges. It's really kind of shattering the nation, right? And there's lots of little different stories like that that are happening. There's exciting things that are going on in the news that we can look at. One of my favorite places to look online when I go online, I love to look at like new technology that is coming out. I love to click on the box that says, what is the new tech that's coming out? And this last week, the little boy in me, yes, I am a children's ministry director, and I probably chose that job because there is a little boy deep down inside of me that comes out every single day, especially when I see stories about new pieces of technology and things that make me excited. And I wanted to show you something. We were talking about the super bloom. I wanted to show you what has been unveiled by Ocean Co. And it is called, let me point it here. See if we have it. Oh, that's Genesis. They did not invent Genesis. They invented this right here, if it's on. Did that come up? There it is. Do you know what that is? It is not a submarine. That is the Ocean Co. brand new super yacht. This is the most state-of-the-art yacht that has ever been invented. It is designed for millennials. It is a yacht that's supposed to replace a home so that you can live on the go and go anywhere you want to go in the world. Let me give you a couple facts about this yacht, but first you got to see a couple pictures. First off, you got to look. This thing has a helicopter pad on the back of it. Now, it's not just a helicopter pad because this thing is supposedly unsinkable. You cannot sink this thing. That helicopter pad drops down because underneath that helicopter pad, there is a huge garage. This thing is about 345 feet long. It boasts with spas, restaurant, like a little spas, dining room inside that's about the size of a restaurant. It has a king suite. There's enough, if you can see there on the back, maybe you can see it better with this picture. Let me go ahead and pull this up. See, right between the helicopter and the main area where all the living quarters are, you can see these little black dots right there. Well, that's a space for all your super cool toys that you can have. That's all your off-roading vehicles so that when you travel around the world and you park somewhere, you can take your off-roading vehicles, your ATVs, just up. Seriously, who would want one of these things right now? I would, right? It's like, let's sell the church. We're all going to be missionaries. We're going to buy a couple super yachts, and we're just going to go, right? Like, amazing. There's so much to say about this thing. I could go on and on and on. But this is one of the things that blew my mind when looking at this. Okay, this next picture is awesome. Okay, because this really shows what they want to do with it. this one right here, is the ability to break through ice at the same time. So this thing literally is designed to go anywhere in the world, and it's designed for scientists and or the super, super, super rich. One thing that this thing can do, and this is the one where I was like, oh, my heart is gone. It has space for two miniature submarines that it launches from it. Tell me that's not cool. That is so cool. That is so amazing. And I wanted to read to you something from the designer, and this is what he said when they create something like this. Our vision is to create solutions by considering human factors, technology, and aesthetics, said the designer. We design everything for a reason, not just for the sake of designing. That is an absolute lie. There is no reason for that vehicle whatsoever. That thing is an absolute pure luxury with no reason. You're not going to travel around the world and do scientific discovery, and you're going to choose that as being the most reasonable vehicle to take, right? Incredibly narcissistic, our society is. By the way, it has a range of about 7,000 nautical miles, which means it can travel about a third of the way around the Earth and back. So tonight, I wanted to show you that because that is a feat of engineering. And where that was unveiled was in a city where all feats of engineering are taking place right now, and that was unveiled in Dubai. And we'll talk a little bit about Dubai in just a little bit. But I wanted to show you that, one, because I think it's actually really cool, but two, feats of engineering and narcissism sometimes go hand in hand. And as we look at Genesis chapter 10 and chapter 11 tonight, we are going to look at genealogy, a feat of engineering, and some narcissism tonight as we get into the Word. Are you guys ready to get into it? Let's go ahead and pray. I want you to turn to your Bibles, Genesis chapter 10, chapter 11, and we will be referencing Isaiah chapter 14 tonight. So Genesis 10 and 11, and we're going to reference at the end Isaiah chapter 14. Let me go ahead and pray for us as we get into tonight. Father God, Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for the place that you brought us to, for the time of worship. Father, to be surrounded amongst a body of people who go all over the world, Lord, who are going on missions trips, who are coming back from missions trips, to be surrounded by a community of people who give to people that spread your gospel. As we open up your word tonight, Lord, and we dive deep, deep, deep into it, Father, I pray that you help us just understand and be reminded of the message that we are sharing and the reason for that message. Father, may we not be about ourselves tonight, Lord. May we only be about you, and may we fully absorb your word in your name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 10. Now, before I get into chapter 10, because chapter 10 and chapter 11, I got chosen to do chapter 10 and 11. It is two chapters. About 75% of these two chapters is genealogies, okay? So genealogies, it's people who have been born after other people who have been born, grandsons and grandfathers, over and over again. And when you open up your Bible and you see genealogy, a lot of times, I know for me as well, and for many of you, our minds sometimes check out, and it's like, I'm not there. Okay, got it. A whole bunch of weird names that I can't pronounce. I don't know why they're there. I'm just going to keep reading through it. But when we look at the natural things of the Bible and we look at things like genealogies, what's really important that we need to remember is that, yes, even in the genealogies, there is a spiritual message that is trying to be communicated and conveyed to us. And it is very, very important that you understand why the genealogies are there, because there is a deep, deep spiritual message, and especially in Genesis chapter 10 and chapter 11, this is what they would call the table of nations. This is the foundation of all of the nations of the people of the earth, and the way, the beautiful way, that the genealogies has been laid out in two separate parts with an interruption right in between them, which we will go over tonight, it is incredible because it speaks a very, very deep spiritual message. So I want to recap really quick before we get into 10. First off, we started weeks and weeks ago. The story goes like this. In the beginning, God created the world, right? So creation, God created the world. After that, man who walked in the holy light of God, disobeyed God, sought his own and her own pride and knowledge, and wanted to grow and wanted to be like God, or knowledgeable like God, ate of the fruit, disobeyed God, right? Then after that, they were cast out of the garden. Cain and Abel came along, and that is where we saw the disobedience of God and what ended up happening. That darkness, that sin that entered into man at that time became really, really dark with the story of Cain and Abel as man started to dip down, and that was when the murder took place. Cain killed Abel. Now, after that story, what happened as you continue on is that you read that since that time, men continued to get more and more violent and more wicked until the whole earth was populated with violence and wicked men everywhere. Sin had taken root in mankind, but God had a solution. And this is where the story of Noah's Ark comes in. Noah's Ark comes in, he looks down, he sees Noah. He takes Noah, he gives Noah a command, says, I want you to build an ark because I'm going to flood the earth and I'm going to wipe out mankind, but I'm going to save you and your family. So that is what happens with Noah. Afterwards, rainbow in the sky, God's promise, I will not wipe out man again. This is my, with flood, I will not do that. That's why I'm giving a rainbow in the sky. And then after Noah's ark, what happens is that we see a population of earth start to take place again. Man starts to grow, and that is where we're at. We're at the table of nations, and this is the beginning. I'm just going to read the first part here of Genesis 10, and then I'm going to point to, if you received a handout tonight, it looks like this, or it will look like this right up here. Go ahead. There it is. It looks just like that. So I'm just going to read the first two verses, and then I'm going to go over just very lightly this entire genealogy here for chapter 10 before we get into kind of some core that's happening in chapter 11. So it says this, now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons were born to them and their sons that were born to them after the flood. Now the sons of Noah, remember right up here, Noah, this is Noah right after the ark. He had sons. There was Shem, there was Ham, and there was Japheth. Now you can see there are about 70 different names here, and I don't want to embarrass myself by reading through every single one of those names and mispronouncing probably about 95% of how you actually say those names, but this is extremely important when you see these three lines taking place right here and how these nations came to be. Now the reason why we're not going to go over this in a lot of details, I want to explain it to you like this. The point I want to get to tonight that Genesis chapter 10 and 11 and the table of nations is trying to communicate to us is an overarching message of what is taking place. It'd be like this. If I wanted to teach you how to build a house, I can go into every single detail and I can tell you, all right, well, you have to have a plumber, you have to have an electrician, you have to have sheeting, you have to have siding, you have to have a roofer, you have to have an engineer, and there are 200 other things that you have to know about if you're going to build a house. Now, if I'm going to explain to you how you build a house, I'm going to say those are all the things that you need to know. Now, your knowledge, your ability to understand the importance of each and every single one of those things gives you a greater appreciation for the house as you delve into exactly how does the plumbing work, exactly how does the electrical work, exactly how does the sheeting and the roofing work. Each one of those little components in those areas has a significant amount of detail in it. And that is what's going on with this genealogy here, is as you look through each one of these names here, there is a significant amount of detail that goes along with every single one of them that it would be so important that you take this guide with you, you keep this with you, because there is a foundation that's being laid in Genesis chapter 10 here that's going to set the stage for the rest of the book of Genesis. it's like if a painter was, if God was going to paint a picture of the beginning of time, he would say, here are all the colors, here's all the paint that I'm going to use for the rest of the book of Genesis. You need to understand, okay, blue, green, yellow, red, pink, purple, white, because later on in Genesis, as we continue on our study, we will be referencing back to these names and these places. So it's important to keep these. But I wanted to point out a couple things here. On your chart, you're going to see these little tiny red dots right here. Now, we're going to get into those later on tonight. But here, we have Ham and we have Japheth. We're going to take a look at Ham real quick as we go through what is going on with him and what comes from his line that leads up to the beginning of chapter 11. Now, Ham has a whole bunch of sons, and towards the bottom there, what you see is that you see Nimrod. Nimrod is the man who is associated, a narcissistic-like man. He was a great hunter before the Lord, a narcissistic-like man that is attributed to him the beginning and the building of the Tower of Babel and all of the cities. That for Nimrod, he was the one that was like the king over the area at the time. Now, Nimrod was one that the Tower of Babel was attributed to, and we're going to start in Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to get into the core of what 11 says here and get into the crux between the two chapters. And it says this. Now, at the time that all of these men had been born, and at the bottom here with Nimrod, right down there, the whole earth spoke one language. And it came to pass, as they journeyed to the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Interesting. You know, prior to the flood, what happened to man? They grew in violence. It got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. God flooded the earth, and then man, Noah's there, and then after that, Noah had sons, and earth continued to be populated again, and then man grew on earth. They started to travel across the earth, and right here, if you look in Genesis chapter 11, verse 2, it says this, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, which means they were travelers. They're traveling around the earth, but then they got cozy and they got comfy and they stopped. And sometimes when you stop, you get comfortable and you're like, all right, well, we've been traveling for a while. Our legacy, our history, our people, we're going to just stop and we're going to pause here. This looks like a really good plane to kind of settle down, to pause. And what happens when you start to settle down and when you start to pause and you're no longer on a mission anymore to move forward? Stop moving forward, you stop having challenges, you get comfortable. What happens? Exactly what happened to them. It says this. And then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. I have an idea. Let's take this new technology that we know how to do. Let's bake our bricks thoroughly. Let's take our asphalt for mortar. Let's put that together. And let's do something with it, guys. We're just kind of sitting here in this plane. We're comfortable. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is as high as the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Did you catch that part in there? Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is as high as the heavens. See the spiritual principle taking place here? Let us ascend. Let us go up. Do you remember what happened in the garden? Oh, no, surely. If you take a bite of this fruit, you won't surely die. You will become what? Like God. There's this spiritual reality that's taking place again in man in this position with the Tower of Babel. And let us build a tower or make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered amongst the whole face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the towers which the Son of Men have built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they shall have one language, and this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. This is what God is saying. Oh man, here we go again. They have the ability. They have the ingenuity. They have the technology. But I don't know if they should do it. Because if they can put their minds together to make this thing happen, and this is the... Do you think God really cared about the asphalt and the mortar? I mean, God creates mountains and galaxies and stars. He doesn't care about the asphalt and the mortar. He wasn't talking, he wasn't concerned about the bricks and the mortar. What was happening was, oh man, man's heart is turning wicked again towards himself. He's not looking at me anymore. Now, come, let us go down and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from all over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language over all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face over all the earth. I want to show you something real quick. Going back to I want to reinforce this point over and over again, because you're going to see a pattern that's taking place. And you're seeing something with this genealogy in tonight, that in chapter 11, as we look through it, that's going to show you God works in a certain way. Here at the beginning, creation, remember, creation, God created everything to be awesome and great. Adam and Eve, they fell from God. They walked away from God. This is what took place. Murder, violence, right? I'm better than my brother. That wickedness that's happening in the heart of man. Well, God said, you know what? I have a solution for that, because that's so bad. I'm going to put the whole earth underwater, right? And I'm only going to save a small portion. And then from there, the nations will begin. And then not too long after that, a tower was built. Can I show you something? Do you notice this? When you're writing a play script or like a movie, and you're going to look at, there's something called a story arc. And this kind of, when you have a story arc, it's literally like an arc, like a line that connects certain points. I want you to look at this arc. It kind of looks like a smiley face, but it's all but happy. But it is our story arc. This is our story arc. This isn't just Jonathan's story arc. This is our story arc. This is man's story arc that goes all the way back to the beginning of time. Let me show you. We were created to worship God, not ourselves. But then we decided to try to ascend. And what happens when we try to ascend? Doesn't work, right? And we fall, and God takes us down. But it's okay. We're out of the depths at the moment. We're out of the deep, deep depths. Now we're going to come back up for air, and we're going to reestablish ourselves as to who we are. And then what takes place? Oh, let's make a name for ourselves, right? And then God says, nope, I'm going to scatter you. That is the story arc of man. The story arc of man is one of ups and downs, peaks and valleys, and it's our problem. We can't seem to get away from it at all. You see, when God wants to communicate with man, he communicates to us like this. He says, you know what? I'm about the temple, and you are about the tower. Is it a temple or is it a tower? Man, you want to build towers. You want to lift yourself up. You want to make yourself higher. You want to raise yourself up from the beginning of time. But I, God, I want to be a temple. I want to be in a temple. Not just a temple of brick and mortar, but a temple of who we are, right? You want to make a name for yourself? I want your body to be the place that where my name is glorified. I showed you a feat of engineering at the beginning. Here's another one, and this just kind of shows, we just continue to do this over and over and over again, where we continue to get wiser, get smarter, use our ability for engineering or feats of amazing just abilities to do incredible things. Can I show you a really cool tower? I'm going to take you back to Dubai. This is the Khalifa Tower. Here we go. You guys see that tower right there? Actually, this tower, do you know how tall that tower is? It's hard to tell from a picture. That tower is 2,722 feet tall. Do you know how tall that is? That's over half a mile into the air. Half a mile into the air. That camera is pulled so far back that you can almost see a little curvature of the earth that's taking place. Can I read you something about the Khalifa Tower? By the way, this is designed by the Crown Prince of Dubai, and if you look up Dubai, you'll see that it is one of the most advanced, incredible cities that is out there, and it's interesting how close it is in proximity to ancient Babylon. But listen to this right here. The primary structure is reinforced with concrete. The building was opened up in 2010 as part of a new development called Downtown Dubai. It is designed to be the centerpiece of a large-scale, mixed-use development. The decision to construct the building is based on the government's decision to diversify from an oil-based economy. And for Dubai, it is to gain international recognition. That's the reason why we do things like that. You look up the Sears Towers, you look up the Empire State Buildings, you look up these feats of engineering. It is brick and mortar. Has anything changed? Not a single thing has changed. Not a single thing has changed in all these years. We as nations, as people, as groups, what do we do? Well, I want to build a really big tower because if my tower is bigger than the other guy's tower, that means I'm more important. We're like a bunch of five-year-olds with our building blocks, right? And it's been that way from the beginning of time. We continue to want to lift ourselves up. This tower, collectively, 22 million man hours. Its foundations plummet 140 feet below the ground to keep the glass looking spick and span. It has 18 automated units that are installed on tracks on the side of the building, and it takes up to 4 months to clean 24,000 windows. Whew. That's an incredible building. And I was just told today, it's not the biggest. It won't be the biggest for very long. There's another one going up, right? We keep going. Our curiosity in us, that deep, deep spiritual need to prove ourselves in some way that is reflected here in Genesis chapter 11 with the Tower of Babel, that deep need, that spiritual problem that's taking place, guess what? It is so prevalent and exists within us today. So this is something to think about. Beginning in chapter 11, you go through the genealogies and you look at the different lines and you look at the lines of Ham and Japheth and Shem. You look at those lines and you say, okay, God's trying to communicate something to me here. And I'm going to go back to this printout. Now over here, I want to show you something. Through this line here, the curse of Ham, you see Nimrod, right? And all of this is all this wickedness and all this wrong stuff that's taking place. And this is the pride of man that's taking place. Now, these little red dots, I want you to continue to pay attention to those because we're going to get to those. The pride of man is what is being communicated in this genealogy. That's why this genealogy is so important. Is because this genealogy in chapter 10 divides out and says, okay, in chapter 10, look, this is where the pride of man existed, all in chapter 10, through these men, all the way down to Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. And then in chapter 11, it goes into God's plan. So as we look at chapter 10 and we think about that idea of tower or temple, platform for pride, or space for holiness, what is it for you? What is it for you? Some of us, it may be like the genealogies here, or man saying we need to make a name for ourselves. It could be, well, my legacy. The years and years and years of the things that I've done, the things that I've built. My rights, my heritage, my experience, my position, my knowledge, my intellect, my beauty, my wealth, my property, my insight, all of these, no matter what it is spiritually, you may not all have brick and mortar and the ability to engineer great tall buildings, but all of us spiritually have little towers that we've built up for ourselves that we take pride in and we say, this is mine, my skill set, right? Your house, is it a platform for pride or is it a space for God's holiness? Is it a tower for yourself, or is it a temple for him? Your title at your work, is it a platform for pride, or is it a space for God's holiness? Is it a position for you to peer over people, to look down upon people, to say, man, I've really achieved this? Or is it a place where you can actually be a space for God's holiness to shine really bright? Are you lifted up because of your intellect? Are you humbled because you actually realize what you don't understand? Do you walk around saying, man, I'm so smart. I got so many degrees. I can do this and I can do that and I can explain this and I can explain that. And you walk around lifted up like, what did we see in the news recently that I brought up? That idea of like, well, if they go to this school, that means they're going to make a name for themselves. They will cheat in order to get there because the name is important. But the integrity doesn't matter. What's going on inside doesn't matter. We need to be extremely, extremely, extremely aware of this spiritual reality. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14 and I'll tell you why. Because this arc that's taking place right here, the peak of pride, the valley of humility, it comes from a position in a spirit of man that began at the beginning of time, right at the fall, and has continued on, and you'll see it throughout all of Genesis, and you'll see it throughout all of Scripture, and you'll see it throughout your entire life today. This is it. Genesis chapter 14, starting in verse 12, it says this. Now you, in the title of this, is the fall of Lucifer. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, listen to this, over and over and over again in the Bible, you're going to see this. I will ascend to the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Just like being said to Lucifer in this right here. Who are you? You're a disgusting, just created being. You made the earth tremble? Who shook the kingdoms? Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities and did not open the house of his prisoners? All of the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house, but you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain. You're meaningless. It's nothing. This pride that you have, this battle that you think that you're going to win, the control that you have, the ability to ascend higher, that is wickedness. It's that pride. It's that platform. It's that thing you need to be scared of. No matter what that platform is, you actually have to have a true fear for whatever that platform is. Now, you may say, Jonathan, I don't challenge God. Like, I'm not going to challenge God. Like, I don't think I'm better than God or higher than God. I'm not saying the same thing that Lucifer is saying here. I'm not filled with that level of pride. I know that, you know what, I can't challenge God whatsoever. It's like, well, be careful, right? Because you may say that in your mind, in your heart, you may say that, but, you know, behind the scenes, you may be saying, well, I'm not as good as God, but you may look around and say, but I'm better than my neighbor, right? Well, I'm at least higher than them, right? And you start taking the first steps up that tower. You start taking that first steps until you get all the way to the top. And we've seen it far too often in ministry, is where people who have existed in positions and platforms have fallen so, so, so far down because of the fact, and it just started with little tiny steps going up. And that's true for every single one of us because we're all in ministry. So, be careful. Be careful, and especially now. Because guess what? the Industrial Revolution of the towers and the time, well, that's kind of coming to a close because we're kind of in a new time right now. As the Industrial Revolution fades into the past and the idea of tower building becomes more impractical, expensive, the hunger for recognition and worship persists. You may not be building a tower with brick and mortar, but I guarantee, like today with the Facebook post, oh no, I can't get my pictures up on Instagram. Oh no, I can't post my pictures up on Facebook. We see this like 1 hour little blip that happens and it lights everything up. Oh my gosh, the rest of the world's not going to know about me in this moment for this 1 hour as they try to fix it. This is the problem. It's worship. Man was trying to worship himself. And that's not his position. That's not our position. You may not build a tower, but you can very easily be worshiping yourself. And that was what God was going after here in Genesis chapter 10 and the beginning 11. Now back to 11 real quick, and we'll conclude with this. This is one of the best parts, though. I told you, just keep those little red dots in mind, right? The genealogies are so special. They're so cool. And I would love, like, if we could take, like, 4 months and go through the genealogies and where they all lined up and where they are all at in Chronicles and the rest of Genesis, and that would be great because there's so much meat there. Just like if I was going to tell you how to construct a house, I'd love to go into every single detail, call Eric Ott up and have him explain to us, well, how does the plumbing work, right? And call other guys around and say, all right, well, Ross, here, come here. Tell me how, some of the electrical works, right? And get all in, and let's all explain how I would love to spend a lot of time explaining in a ton of detail exactly how this all works out. But I would tell you, take that home with you, look up Table of Nations, start doing some research on it because it is going to open up your mind and it's going to give you that framework to understand a lot of the rest of Genesis. But this is what it does in chapter 10 that we went over. Okay, here's the wicked line. Nimrod, Tower of Babel, man wanted to worship himself, right? But this is what happened that is not on your sheet. Not that. This right here. After Peleg, there is a lineage, and this is where chapter 11 continues and then concludes, is that as the beginning of chapter 10 sets up the pride of man and separates the nations that are proud and that are trying to worship themselves, it then interrupts that midway, the beginning of 11, and said that, and this is what they were trying to do. They were trying to build this giant tower of Babel, this giant tower, and God knocked them down. And then after the Tower of Babel, that next section, that next part, that next genealogy goes into this. And as you go through it and you look at all of the names, you see a certain name that stands out there, and that is the name of who? It's the name of, oh, come on, you guys can do this. I do it with children all the time, right? It's the name, they can read it. Ready? 1, 2, 3, it's Abraham or Abram beforehand, right? This is the setting of the stage. The Table of Nations, Genesis chapter 10 and 11, this is the beginning of the scene. This is Act 1. We're about to get into it. This, all the way up to this point, this has been the wickedness of man from creation all the way to the point of the Tower of Babel and the destruction of. This is laying out a picture of, guess what, guys? Man is wicked if you don't know it. That's what's going on. But then God says here at the end, through this lineage, he says, but I'm going to show you what's happening. This little side shoot to the side. I'm going to show you what's going to happen because Father Abraham, the one who receives the covenant from God, the beginning of God's promises, right? Of establishing his people and who his people are. His people are not to be a people of pride. His people are not to be a people of self-worship. His people are not to be a people that build towers. They are to be a people that build temples, and then ultimately through Jesus, become a temple themselves. And that is the power of Genesis chapter 10 and 11 and understanding these genealogies and what is taking place. My challenge as we conclude here tonight, we're going to get into a time of worship, is to go back and ask yourself really spiritually what is laid out in Genesis chapter 10 and chapter 11 is that you really have two groups of people, right? Two different types of people that are populating the earth. everybody's wicked, right? Everybody's wicked in this. Like, everybody's bad, right? We're all wicked, right? But there are those that take that wickedness, that understanding of who they are, and they want to be self-worshippers of themselves, and they want to make a name for themselves. Then you also have all of those wicked people that God delivers a promise through. As we go into a time of worship and just kind of a time of reflection and thinking, I want you to challenge yourself with that question. Am I trying to build a tower and a name for myself and my beauty and my intellect and my title of my job and the things that I know? Am I trying to build a name for myself? Or am I trying to be a temple for God? Am I trying to be God's people, one of God's people? Amen? Let's go ahead and pray and let's get into some worship. Father God, we come to you. We thank you, Lord. As we take that 100,000-foot level at two of these chapters here, Lord, Genesis 10 and 11, we look at the table of nations, Father, and we see that overarching dynamic picture, Lord, of the pride in the nations that went towards self-worship, Father, and the nations in which you delivered your promise through, or the nation that you delivered your promise through, the beginning of that, Lord. May we take some time to reflect on that tonight, Lord. Understanding that we are not to be about self-worship. We're not to be about building our own towers. We're not to be about lifting ourselves up, taking the things that we know that we could do and asking the question, you know, really, should we do them, Lord? And may we be people, as we continue to march through Genesis, that are people that speak to your promise, who carry your promise, Father. We love you and thank you and lift this all up in your name. Amen.
How many of you have heard that story before? Anybody heard the story about the nations and God wasn't done and remember what he said to Noah when they got out of the ark? Now go fill up the earth. He said, fill it up and be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And they headed out to do that. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I get caught up in these ages, you know. When he was this old, he had this child, then he lived this many more years. And I love that those numbers are in there because if you do the math yourself, you're going to see that Shem was still alive when the last boy that we looked at tonight, Abram, was born. He had a while to live after that. He would have told the story of the flood firsthand to all those generations. And not only was he alive, you know who else was alive? Noah was still alive. Hundreds and hundreds of years. He lived to be about 900 years old. Here's the point that I want you to go home with. How many of you got a story about God's touch on your life? How many of you got a story about God lifting you out of the flood of destruction? I tell you, somebody needs to hear that story. Pass on that story. Tell somebody else about the delivering power of God, the rescuing power of God, the deep love of God that picked you up out of the junk. When God said to you one day, what? We talked about it on Sunday. When he said to you, give me your trash. And you gave him your trash. And he turned that trashed life into a treasure of his. You know that's what you are. You're his treasure. And I think one of the most wonderful things that we get to do is to pass on the story of God's redemption in our lives. So may you find yourself, well, you can't do it on Instagram and Facebook tonight, but may you find yourself gossiping about Jesus, telling other people about him. May we all just take the next opportunity. I think it always came down to, in God's mind anyway, his heart for us, it's the next real person in front of us. Maybe it's good that our media shut down for a little while to remember it's the person in front of us. Amen? Grace and peace to you. Let's go walk this out. Bless you. Thank you, Jonathan. Well done.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.